know the blues is in the house. You know, we got a lot of people out there that don't want to admit they like the blues. Call them closet blues lovers. You know, the blues is in the house. It gets into the old and young and everyone. I'm not a rapper, but zero in on this. Saturday night, I'm ready to get down. Got a new suit of clothes. I want to paint the town. There's a house party just right up the street.
Mr. Bobby Stringer. Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up on the program today, classical music impresaria Doreen Marks shares her excitement with our contributor Charles Greenfield about a new season, two new seasons for Sunday Afternoons of Music and Sunday Afternoons of Music for Children. Director and Chief Curator Dr. Carol Damian talks about a new season of exhibitions and events coming to the Frost Art Museum at FIU. Chef Norman Van Aken gives us a word on food, and our Broward Arts Calendar features Jody Horn-Leschinski. The Greater St. Paul AME Church in Coconut Grove launches its premier Coconut Grove Historic Black Heritage Music Series tomorrow evening called Labor of Love. The church will transform their sanctuary into a cultural arts multi-purpose facility with 300 seats. St. Paul was awarded a Miami-Dade Community Arts grant to assist in the production of their series, which will feature several South Florida musical legends, R&B singer-songwriter Bobby Stringer, and jazz vocalist, composer, and musician Mel Dancy, along with the Ladies of Soul, the Motown Review Group. St. Paul Church is working to develop a signature community arts program with a specific interest in West Coconut Grove, presenting the events while promoting the Grove's restaurants and businesses to enhance economic development with an emphasis on community and tourism-based projects. And with us today to talk about this exciting ongoing project is Ms. Renita Samuels-Dixon, the founder of this effort, the producer of this effort, and South Florida's R&B legend, Mr. Bobby Stringer. Bobby, great to have you back, and so wonderful to have you join us for the first time, and hopefully not the last, Renita.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you, Ed.
Yeah, it's great to see you. Renita, tell us, when did the idea of creating a cultural arts series at St. Paul first begin?
I think it was when Bobby first, we first started talking a few months ago, maybe about 4 or 5 months ago. Bobby said, Renita, let's do something here in the Grove. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, well, how are we going to fund it? I had to think about that. And I said, well, I can write a grant.
There you go.
And so that's exactly what we did.
Which is not an easy thing to do.
Not at all.
Grant writing is very hard.
It's a very difficult process, but when you stick right to it and you have a lot of material to draw from, it makes it a lot easier. So part of the way that we did that was Greater St. Paul AME Church, which was established in 1896, has always been a cultural component within Coconut Grove. Mm-hmm. We started out in an educational arena besides religion. We had education. We were the first organization to house public schools within Coconut Grove. Mm. So that's where the black kids went to school. Mm. But we also had an usher board. And so an usher board actually greets people. Mm-hmm. So that's a part of being part of the performance aspect. And we had our Mozart choir, which sings anthems and hymns. So therefore, you received a well-rounded cultural experience when you came to church. So from that aspect, it was easy to pull in Bobby with the blues and along with Mel Dancy with jazz and the Ladies of Soul with the Motown Review.
Bobby, you're synonymous with Coconut Grove. Did you grow up there?
That is my hometown.
It's your hometown.
I returned there in November.
Ah.
And that's when I met Renita. And, you know, I thought it was a good thing to have me, being that I'm from Coconut Grove.
Yeah.
And
hometown.
I'm more like a legend there, you know.
Yes, you are.
To do something, so.
Tell me about your growing up in Coconut Grove. Did you start singing early on?
I started. Matter of fact, it was the Club 77. Ah. They changed the name to the Tiki Club.
Oh, yeah.
And my first performance was sponsored by Billy Rowe. You remember Billy Rowe?
Billy Rowe, great great educator with the school system.
Teacher.
And also a great big band. I remember Billy Rowe, big band.
Right. But he was my school teacher, and that's how he discovered me in school, because when I was in elementary school, when they had the assemblies in high school, they used to come get me to be on the high school assemblies. And
really?
That was an honor then. So he remembered that, and he put me on. My first show at Tiki was with opening up for Clarence Reed.
Clarence Reed. Well, now, I dare say you were underage, so
I was underage. They didn't let me sit out in the audience. They had me in a little room, gave me a Coca-Cola, and said, wait till your turn.
Now, what were you singing back then? Were you singing like Sam and Dave and Motown stuff?
At that time, I was singing Sam Cooke.
Sam Cooke. Wow.
And, Sam Cooke was the main thing then.
Wow.
Otis Redding was just getting out there at that time. But, you know, I always been versatile.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of artists I was singing are not around, and it was Solomon Burke.
Solomon Burke.
Yeah, I used to really love his stuff.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Well, that's a great way to start off your career, and you pursued it ever since, and really, you're Mr. Coconut Grove up there on that stage, I got to say.
Right. Yes.
So, Renita, how did the project move forward? You got funding from Miami-Dade County, which is just marvelous because it really jump-started this effort, did it not?
It did. Well, Bobby had friends, and Bobby's friends were the Ladies of Soul and also Mel Dancy. And
they're a good group.
And the Ladies of Soul do Motown reviews. Mm-hmm. And so we thought, what better way to introduce our youth to young ladies dressed in finery, showing elegance in performance. And so we thought they would be a great act to have on as the opening act of our show. And then Mel
Dancy.
Oh, my God. You met him when?
Well, Mel Dancy and I were in the Platters together.
Ah.
When I you remember, I performed with the Platters for years, and when I got in the Platters group, they recruited me. Mel was there. And there's been an everlasting friendship, man.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Great guy.
Magnificent.
And he's a hell of a musician and singer.
Yeah, he really is.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays a mean trumpet, too.
With no trumpet. He can do it sound like a trumpet.
I saw that for the first time the other night at Luna Star.
So once again, it's a family-friendly, the Coconut Grove Historic Black Heritage Music Series premieres tomorrow night at 5 o'clock from 5 to 7 p.m. And this is taking place at the Greater St. Paul AME Church, and that's located at 3680 Thomas Avenue in Coconut Grove. And once again, with the support of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs and Cultural Affairs Council. Who else came together to help you out, Renita?
Well, the City of Miami District Commissioner 2, Mark Sarnoff's office was very instrumental in helping us to pull this event together. And also the community businesses. We've had our advertisements in the cookie store located on the corner of Grand and Douglas, and also the Bible Bookstore and Tony's Salon.
The salon that I get my hair cut in.
Exactly. And then we had Ike's, which is on the corner,
for years.
I went there as a little girl to buy candy and so forth. And then we also have a dollar store that's right there in the Grove. So what we're asking everyone to do is just come out and support our community arts program as we kick our premier event off. We actually have programming for six events a year.
Your next show is a gospel group.
Edward Waters College Choir.
Ah.
And we're focusing, and this goes back to honor our Mozart choir, because many of the original members are passing on. And we want to pass that knowledge on by having Edward Waters College to come on October 19th.
Your next show is scheduled October 19th, 5 to 7, with the Edward Waters College Choir. And tomorrow night, it's the big premiere. Check it out. Magnificent musicians and vocalists performing. For more information, you can go to cgcap.eventbrite.com. You can also call St. Paul directly in Coconut Grove at 305-448-2742. And Ms. Renita Samuels-Dixon and Mr. Bobby Stringer, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, man.
And I hope the word gets out, because this is a marvelous beginning of a wonderful new series. I'm excited. And you're retiring. You whispered to me that you're retiring. So get out to see Bobby before he retires, because this man is fabulous. And you take me back to the greats, to Otis Redding and Sam Cooke, and you covered a lot of that material. And it'll be family-friendly once again, right?
That's right. Yes, Ed. And, you know, I appreciate the fact that you enjoy history.
Yeah.
And we're looking for a way to build that foundation. And it's really been a pleasure sitting here talking with you today.
Thanks so much
for coming
out.
You know it's always a pleasure for you and I to get together.
Thank you, my friend. Thanks so much, and all the success in the world. I want to have you back next year too. Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, I'm Ed Bell. Coming up later on the program, Dr. Carol Damian reveals a new season of exhibitions coming to the Frost Art Museum at FIU. Chef Norman Van Aken delivers a word on food, and our arts calendar features Broward events with Jody Horn-Leschinski. It's the 33rd season for the Sunday Afternoons of Music and the 28th season for the Sunday Afternoons of Music for Children. This remarkable production effort is made possible by none other than the indefatigable Doreen Marks and her husband, Byron Krulwich. Here's Charles Greenfield to tell us about the upcoming excitement.
For over three decades, Doreen Marks has managed and directed the Sunday Afternoons of Music as well as Sunday Afternoons of Music for Children series. Her series first ran out of Pinecrest Temple Beth Am, then switched to UM's Gusman Concert Hall in 2002. The very affordable, high-quality concerts have attracted subscribers to international artists like violinist Jaime Laredo, pianist Richard Good, and cellist Janos Starker, the Mendelssohn String Quartet, and vocalist Dawn Upshaw. In 1986, Doreen introduced Sunday Afternoons of Music for Children with hour-long shows that have showcased local groups like jazz artist Ira Sullivan and Friends, the Florida Grand Opera Young Artist Studio, the New World School of the Arts Conservatory Orchestra, and annual Peter and the Wolf performances with personalities like Martin Bookspan. In their 2013-14 concert season, Doreen Marks will present seven concerts, with all concerts presented at 4 p.m., with the exception of one at 7:30 p.m. at UM's Frost School of Music's Gusman Concert Hall. Besides nationally renowned artists, Doreen Marks will showcase South Florida's Amernay String Quartet from FIU with guest violist Michael Tree from the famed Guarnieri Quartet on January 14, 2014. The setting in the 600-seat UM Gusman Concert Hall is both intimate and acoustically accurate, while the programs are always entertaining and often challenging in scope. Recently, I had the opportunity to talk to Doreen Marks about the new season and her talented roster of both young artists and well-established musicians. Doreen Marks, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
Well, thank you, Charles. I'm very happy to be here.
Now, Sunday Afternoons of Music has highlighted several young artists who've gone on to big careers. I'm thinking of the glamorous Russian pianist Olga Kern and pianist Jeremy Denk, mm-hmm. who accompanies violinist Joshua Bell.
Absolutely. It's very funny that you should say Olga Kern, because just last week I got a telephone call from New York management, and believe it or not, they said, is there any interest for Olga Kern? Now, goodness me, I almost fell off my chair, and I said, absolutely. Just let me go talk to the dean. And we'll get right back to you. So this would be 2014-15.
2014-15. Oh, God, 15, that's good to know.
Amazing musician.
We can plan on that. Now, Doreen, what's the formula that makes Sunday Afternoons of Music for Children such a success? And tell us a little bit about the season coming up.
I think giving children food when it's all over. Where if you do something for their tummies, I think they anticipate that. And balloons. I will not have a children's concert without balloons. Gusman Hall is a sea of color. We do start off with the Okie Dokie Brothers. They were granted a Grammy for the best song in 2013. And they are grassroots, bluegrass, banjo, guitar, and they are amazing. The children's concerts have six wonderful musicians, all very, very different. Trout Fishing in America, for instance. They're coming on January the 19th. And this is a hand-clapping, toe-tapping, finger-snapping afternoon, singing songs in a very fresh manner about growing up. And then we've got the Greater Miami Symphonic Band, which is a rousing, rousing band concert. These bands used to play on the village greens for our parents and grandparents many, many years ago. We got the Florida Youth Orchestra, students 10 to 18, February 23rd, and the one and only Peter and the Wolf comes. And then, of course, we do have the Miami City Ballet. Whole Food Markets donates juice and cookies, and Allegro Music Center, we have a musical instrument petting zoo.
Well, it just sounds like the adults will be spending a lot of time with the children this year.
Well, that's the way it should be.
That's right. But let's talk about adults because the season starts September 8th with Joshua Roman, cello, and Corey Smythe, piano. Tell us a little bit about these very young but experienced musicians.
Very young. Josh is just about 29 years old. He's what you call the cream of the cello world. And Dorothy Hinderman wrote a wonderful article in South Florida Classical Review that he's one of the stars of the new breed of the 21st century. He's an amazing cellist, young, vibrant, and he's on his way. He's going to be playing music by Stravinsky, Prokofiev, and Schumann. The Italian Suite by Stravinsky has wonderful, delightful melodies.
I wish we had time to talk more about that, but we really need to talk a little bit about the next concert, which is
the Gay Men's Chorus.
The Gay Men's Chorus.
On December 15th. That's
right.
The only one at night. Sunday Afternoons of Music really lives up to his name this year because all the concerts are 4 o'clock in the afternoon, which is the way it really should be.
And the Gay Men's Chorus of South Florida under the leadership of Gordon Roberts.
An amazing, amazing musician, multifaceted. And because of Gordon, the Gay Men's Chorus has risen to tremendous prominence in the only 3 years that it's been in existence. This is a fun, wonderful evening of holiday music. These men sing magnificently. Their sound will amaze everybody who comes to hear them.
On January 26th, the new trio appears.
Right.
Tell me a little bit about them.
Well, Andrew Wan is the concertmaster of one of the most outstanding orchestras in Canada. He plays a remarkable violin in Bergonzi, a 1744 violin. Julio Elizalde is on the faculty of the Juilliard. He assists in teaching and also with violin maestro Louis Kaplan on the violin faculty. And then we have, in fact, Julio's coming back to play with Ray Chen on February the 16th. And then Patrick G, who is a member of the New York Philharmonic, he got his bachelor's from Juilliard and his master's from Yale. They're playing an all-Russian program. Rachmaninoff, Shostakovich, and Tchaikovsky. Passionate music.
Well, from Moscow to Miami, on February 16th, you're talking about
Ray Chen.
Marvelous, young.
He's headed for stardom at the very, very top. And then we're getting two for one because Julio Elizalde is coming back with him. And I've got to tell you about the program. Mozart's Sonata in A Major and Gems, Sarasate's Habanero, Spanish dance, and some gypsy airs. And then he ends up with the great, great sonata by Beethoven, the Kreutzer.
Oh.
Now, Charles, you can't get any better than
well,
that.
Well, I've already had that on my calendar.
Great.
And then...
Oh, and I've got to tell you something else.
Oh, yes.
On January the 13th, the Sony Classics are releasing a all-Mozart recording of his Mozart sonatas, and they will be on sale on February the 16th, and you can get a signed copy. So you're getting a wonderful bargain on February the 16th when you come to hear Ray Chen and Julio.
I won't forget. It's my brother's birthday,
then,
so I'll remember that. My brother Timothy's birthday.
Oh, well, I'm
so.
Sure everybody, please note that it's Timothy's birthday on February the 16th.
And then, of course, a concert which I'm really looking forward to
is
Richard Good, who is going to play on March 16th.
March 16th, very easy to remember. He's one of the keyboard greats. And he's playing Schubert, which is one of his specialties, Janáček and Debussy. This is a master. If he played the C major scale, it would be amazing. You cannot miss this master in a very rare solo appearance when he comes to South Florida. That's just it. And then finally we have the gorgeous, beautiful, magnificent Isabel Leonard, who, by the way, is a winner of the recent Richard Tucker Vocal Award. And we are so fortunate. Do you want to know why, Charles?
I do.
Oh, well, good. And then I'll tell you. 2 weeks after we arranged to have her come and sing for us, she won the Richard Tucker Vocal Award, just 2 weeks after we booked her. And if we had sort of phoned and asked for her to come and sing for us, we would not have been able to afford her.
Well, you really lucked out on that.
And I have to tell you that after 2.5 years' absence from the podium, James Levine is returning to the Met, and also so is Isabel Leonard returning to the Met to sing in Così fan tutti.
I think you've hit gold here. That sounds...
I think every one of these 7 concerts is pure gold in a different way. They're all amazingly marvelous.
Well, I just want to say, Doreen, it's been a lot of fun, and you certainly have been actively promoting today, I enjoy that.
Can I just say one thing,
sure,
which is rather important? Because of the parking situation at Gusman Hall, we are offering our public free shuttle service from the Ponce de Leon parking garage on Alhambra and Ponce to the hall.
For the entire season?
For the entire season,
well,
yes.
That's
I do believe it'll run from either 2:30 to 4:30 or from 3 to 5, but there will be constant shuttle service, all free parking and free shuttle.
Well, Doreen, I want to thank you again for being on South Florida Arts.
I thank you, Charles.
Doreen Marks has an unerring eye for upcoming and established performers whose superior talent ably fill the season's calendar in South Florida's rising cultural scene. It should also be noted that impresaria Doreen Marks's over 3 decades of service to the South Florida community has been supported and structured by her indispensable husband, Byron. For ticket information, call 305-271-7150 and check their website, sundaymusicals.org. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Charles Greenfield.
Charles Greenfield is a classical music contributor for the Sun Sentinel and has written for the Miami Herald. You can email him at cdgpm@bellsouth.net. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat continues in just a moment. It's South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, Chef Norman Van Aken serves up a word on food, and our Broward County Arts Calendar features Jody Horn-Leschinski. Enriching and educating local, national, and international art lovers, the Patricia and Philip Frost Art Museum at Florida International University continues its mission to collect, preserve, research, interpret, and exhibit art from cultures throughout human history. With an extensive season of exhibitions and events ahead, we took the opportunity to speak with the museum's renowned director and chief curator, Dr. Carol Damian. Carol, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat. Great to have you join us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Describe the new, quote-unquote, Frost Art Museum. Tell us about the square footage and the various halls that you all have.
Well, the museum is a state-of-the-art, absolutely beautiful building designed by Jan Weymouth of HOK, and it's 44,000 square feet. Of that, about 23,000 are exhibition spaces. The rest is what we call back of the house. We have our storage facilities there. We have entertainment, reception areas, classrooms, offices, and, of course, all the other kitchens and other things that happen in a big building of that size.
As well as being the director, you're also the chief curator of the Frost Art Museum. Tell me about your collection.
Well, we have a very large collection that I think reflects the university. We're Florida International University, so we don't really have a focus in a particular area. What we're trying to do now is go through close to 6,000 objects that have been acquired, received by the museum over its long history, And we're going through all of these objects. We're putting together a collection plan. So if you ask me this question again next year, I'll probably have a really good idea of what we have and where we're going. But the collection includes an excellent Asian group of works, African, many things from Latin America, as would be expected in this area of South Florida. But we have a very strong American art collection. Previous directors have collected and have really set their eye on American art. So that includes wonderful works on paper, as well as paintings from American artists, and indeed from American artists in Miami as well. So we do try to focus on our immediate surroundings. And I think we're going to go that way with future collections as well.
Now, amongst your holdings, you have some magnificent sculpture. And tell me, I understand you've got a great fundraising program that will launch very soon to help clean them up.
Yes, actually, we have a fabulous sculpture park, one of the, I think, the finest in South Florida. And it now includes the work of great artists from all over the world. We've recently received a number of very important pieces for the sculpture park. And I think it's because the reputation of the sculpture park is so fine that artists want to be a part of it. So they have looked to their special patrons, to their galleries, because artists, you know, themselves, it's kind of hard to ask them to give a sculpture that's worth $100,000. But they want to be a part of it. So generally what they do is ask a patron or a gallery, say, would you buy this piece and then donate it to the collection at the Frost Art Museum at Florida International University. So we've really acquired a fantastic collection. Now, with that said, the collection has been in our wonderful South Florida conditions for many years.
Very tactful.
And very difficult to maintain with the rain and the humidity and hurricanes and everything else that we face on a day-to-day basis. So it's true that some of the sculpture really needs maintenance. And we don't have the money that we should have to fix the sculptures and to keep them in very good condition, because a museum's first responsibility is the care of their artworks. So we take that very seriously. And what's kind of fun about being on a college campus is that our students have really embraced this sculpture park. It's part of their campus. They look at it every day. They're proud of it. I've often been asked the question, well, do you ever have vandalism? I want to tell you, no, we really don't. I mean, occasionally they'll tie a balloon or put a sticker on it, but they don't vandalize this collection. I think the students understand its importance to the campus. It's unique to them. So it was really at the suggestion of some of the students on our staff. We have wonderful interns and students that we couldn't function without. And some of our young staff members, kind of looking for an excuse for a party maybe, that said, well, let's do a fundraising event. So last year, they started doing what we call SOS, Save Our Sculpture. And it raises money for the maintenance of sculpture. So it's kind of like adopt a sculpture. They pick a piece that really needs to be conserved and use that as their focal point. So what they do is they ask the members of the university community, of course, you have to be old enough to drink.
Sure.
We do serve alcoholic beverages. And they ask their friends and they send out the invitations to the young community to come to the museum, to have a party. There's a DJ there, and to contribute, to make a donation to the sculpture park.
That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. Really wonderful. And that's a monthly event?
It's a monthly event.
The Frost Art Museum has so many extraordinary events coming up to wrap up this year and into 2014. More info at thefrost.fiu.edu. And Carol, where do we start? Let's start talking about some of the events through late September. Perhaps 6 degrees of Separate Nations?
6 degrees of Separate Nations is a kind of a provocative title for an exhibit that actually shows the work of two artists who are very far from each other. The artist from Jamaica, who is Ebony Patterson, and the artist from Kenya, who is Kamwathi. Now, they are very far away, but they share a lot in common. They have both suffered through colonization. They have both struggled for identity, especially within the Black nations. And they both address through their art how they look at each other and look at the world and how they see the world looking at them. So it's a very, very interesting exhibit that is serious, especially from the African perspective, and absolutely outrageous from Ebony Patterson's Jamaican perspective.
Now, that runs through September 29th.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All of our exhibits this year and wrapping up now in the fall and the winter were part of the Spain-Florida 500 commemorative year. So everything that we have done has been about Spain, Florida, and the Caribbean. And we're going to end the year with Cuba. And certainly the most extraordinary thing that is going to happen is that in November, Manuel Mendive is coming from Cuba, the great performance artist of Cuba. He's going to have an exhibit, and he is going to do a performance in November. When his exhibit opens on the 16th, which is a Saturday, his performance will involve members of the community, a great group of student dancers and performers and art students. So that's certainly a highlight of our exhibit year.
Now, you say that's November 16th and it runs through January 26th.
Yes.
Things That Cannot Be Seen Any Other Way. I like that title.
Right.
So much going on at the Frost Art Museum. Once again, you want to go to their website, thefrost.fiu.edu. You've got scheduled on September 18th the opening of your faculty show, the Wolfsonian Teaching Gallery, Crisis and Commerce, September 18th through January 5th. So much going on. Your 2013 Master of Art Education exhibition starts December the 11th. The Bachelor of Fine Arts Students exhibition starts December the 11th. Any other exhibition that you would like to mention before we wrap up?
Well, I certainly want to mention that George Perez has given us a collection of Cuban art that is focusing on the academic and the more traditional work that was produced at the end of the 19th into the early years of the 20th century. So this is a very educational and academic collection that will be a centerpiece for our Cuban Research Institute and Latin American Caribbean Center students to come to the museum and to study Cuba in this particular period of time. So that collection is going to be opening on October 16th and will be part, again, of our focusing on Cuba and all periods and all kinds of art from Cuba.
Well, Doctor, unfortunately, our time together is all too brief, but we want to say thank you very much to Dr. Carol Damian, Director and Chief Curator of the Patricia and Philip Frost Art Museum. Thanks so much for joining us on South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you.
The Patricia and Philip Frost Art Museum is located on the campus of Florida International University, 10975 Southwest 17th Street in Miami. For more information, call 305-348-2890. You can also email artinfo@fiu.edu or go to their website at thefrost.fiu.edu. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue in just a moment. Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Ed Bell with you. And now, Chef Norman Van Aken gives us a word on food.
I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the frim-fram sauce with the offs and fade, with shafafa on the side. Shoo-doo-dee-doo-ya-doo-doo.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's word on food, peanut butter. If you're like most people, you can be transported to a dream state when eating peanut butter. If you're like me, the dream is a long one. It involves various forms, stages of life, battles with a sibling over who got the last spoonful, issues of textures, and the divination of the knife's scrapings on the clawed bottom of an empty jar. I can be standing in my professional kitchen with food many would dream of eating all about me, and if my wife, Janet, tells me over the phone she is eating peanut butter on crackers with jam, it makes me wistful and wanting. Of course, I know that the jam is homemade strawberry jam she made herself with a killer recipe she perfected, with almost none of my help, but that's another word on food. Vending machines held peanut butter and cracker constructions when I was a little child and visiting Miami Beach with my parents in the 1950s. I knew from that time on that I would eventually live here. The peanut butter was, no doubt, a major contributing factor. For an 8-year streak in the 1960s, the bag lunch I brought to my Midwestern grade school invariably contained a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. It was the stoner food of my post-adolescent years, and it's the comfort food of whatever this phase is called I'm now in. The peanut plant probably originated in Peru or Brazil. No fossil records prove this, but people in South America made pottery in the shape of peanuts or decorated jars with peanuts as far back as 3,500 years ago. The Incas were the first to make something akin to what we now know as peanut butter. They made it into a paste as early as 950 BC. The peanut crop emigrated from there back to Africa by way of early explorers and then traveled to Spain, ultimately to be traded with the American colonies. Kind of a roundabout way to go farm to table, but we still see plenty of that twisted logic taking place today. Peanut crops were first commercially grown in Virginia and in North Carolina by the mid-1800s. Of course, we learned in grade school, after our peanut butter and jelly sandwich lunch, if we were lucky, that George Washington Carver discovered 300 uses for peanuts. It went way beyond peanut butter for that brilliant agricultural chemist. He also made paper, ink, and various oils out of peanuts down at his lab in Tuskegee, but he never patented peanut butter because he believed that all food products were gifts from God. My theory is that he was high on peanut butter when he made that rule for himself. Others were less benevolent and patented away. Peanut butter is made all around the world today. The allure of Indonesian satays relies on peanut butter. There are Mexican moles made with chicken stock, chilies, and creamy peanut butter. China and the United States are the leading exporters. In Holland, peanut butter is called pindakaas, which translates as peanut cheese. This was due to the fact that the term butter was protected. Warning, menu writing is a very tricky business. I would never have fallen under the charms of a peanut cheese and jelly sandwich back in grade school days. Now, I would be lying if I were to say that I'm the peanut butter champ in our family. My younger sister, Bette, holds that title. She adores peanut butter. I'd say she's almost nuts about it. I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food.
Norman Van Aken is the author of My Key West Kitchen and is also the director of restaurants for the Miami Culinary Institute and Tuyo in downtown Miami. Please tune in tomorrow morning at 8:34 on Weekend Edition to hear Huevos Rancheros. And here's our South Florida Arts Beat entertainment calendar. And today we welcome back Jody Horn-Leschinski, Community Development Director of the Broward Cultural Division. What's been going on, Jody?
Well, we have a brand new art installation that I wanted to share with you, although unless you're going on a cruise, you can't see it, unfortunately. But
what?
You can see it on our website. And it's called Dancing Oceans, and it was installed at Terminal 26 of Port Everglades by public artist Carlos Alves and his partner J.C. Carroll. And as commissioned through the Broward Cultural Division's Public Art and Design Program, Dancing Oceans is a mural which covers both levels of the elevator walls, and it's hand-glazed turquoise, blue, and green mosaic tiles and they arranged it where there's wave-like patterns suggesting calm seas. Mm. So elegant but folksy.
Sounds beautiful.
So on your next cruise, you'll be able to see this. There are several upcoming workshops that Broward Cultural Division is offering. They're all free. Broward-based artists and not-for-profit cultural organizations are invited to an application workshop for the first cycle of the Creative Investment Program, offered on Tuesday, September 3rd for artists and Wednesday, September 4th for the not-for-profit cultural organizations. Both of the workshops are at 5:30, and they take place on the 7th floor of the Broward County Main Library in downtown Fort Lauderdale. The purpose of the Creative Investment Program is to assist eligible Broward-based practicing professional artists and not-for-profit cultural organizations with annual operating revenues less than $100,000 to fund projects which have not received funding through any other cultural division grant program. Then the Cultural Diversity Program will hold its workshop on Wednesday, September 11th at 6 p.m., also on the 7th floor of the Main Library. Then the Cooperative Marketing Program will be holding its application workshop and media trade show on Thursday, September 12th at ArtServe. And the Cooperative Marketing Program provides Broward-based not-for-profit cultural organizations and artists receiving cultural division grants with reduced advertising rates and a recognizable presence through larger media placements. Participants need to come to this application workshop to learn about the program. There is no cost for any of these workshops, but please RSVP online. Visit broward.org/arts for details and to RSVP. The Broward Center for the Performing Arts is accepting applications for the 2013-2014 Broward Center Teen Ambassador Program, which is open to high school students residing in Broward County and who are interested in the performing arts. Past participants have been in the orchestra pit during a performance of Wicked. They might have been listening on headsets to the production team during Sister Act, or they may have participated in a Flashdance Broadway choreography workshop. The program is held from October through May, and it provides an insider's view of working behind the scenes. Applicants must be a high school student and live in Broward County as of August 19th. Please visit browardcenter.org/teen ambassador. And then we have plenty of things going on this weekend.
Great.
Nice long holiday weekend, right?
Mm-hmm. Love it.
For those of you interested in dance, Rhythm School of Dance presents Anvita, an adaptation of Sleeping Beauty in Indian classical dances, this Friday and Saturday night at the Miniachi Performing Arts Center starting at 6 p.m. The ageless classic Western fairy tale comes to life through innovative, original choreography, colorful costumes, and unique music. St. Thomas Aquinas High School's Vienna Center for the Arts welcomes the Simon Wiesenthal Center world-renowned The Courage to Remember Holocaust exhibit now through September 19th. As acts of intolerance continue to afflict society amid reports of anti-Semitic vandalism and bullying in America's neighborhoods, many are left wondering, how can we best combat these dangerous trends of intolerance and hatred? The Simon Wiesenthal Center, The Courage to Remember, traveling exhibition strives to address this issue at its core, empowering people to educate themselves and stand up to discrimination. City Theater and Island City Stage bring Short Play Fest to audiences this weekend at the Empire Stage. Take 6 actors, 7 playwrights, 4 directors, and let them loose with 8 short, provocative, funny, and thoroughly entertaining plays that are tailored to explore the values, issues, and humor that are relevant to the LGBT and progressive communities. And just to keep the actors on their toes, we'll let the audiences decide what play comes next in the evening. The Museum of Art Fort Lauderdale presents the End of Summer Party Saturday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Join the museum as new director Bonnie Clearwater celebrates the last week of the 2013 South Florida Cultural Consortium exhibition, Who Am I to You?, with hors d'oeuvres, cocktails, and live music. And the fun doesn't stop there. Shuttle services to Fat Village Art Walk will be available during this event. The AutoNation IMAX Theater at the Museum of Discovery and Science offers several films this weekend, including the sci-fi thriller Elysium, the majestic Flight of the Butterflies 3D, and a family favorite, Born to be Wild 3D. Each film is brought to life on IMAX film that is 10 times larger than normal film. The IMAX experience is as unique and powerful as the technology behind it. Experience Oceanside Cultural Arts performances at the Outdoor Beach Theater at Johnson Street and the Broadwalk. This weekend features Carl Stanley with his Caribbean-influenced music, Tonight, and on Saturday, the Solid Brass Band's R&B, along with rock songs from the 60s through the 80s. Concerts begin at 7:30 p.m. Broward Stage Door Theater presents Ken Ludwig's comedy Moon Over Buffalo, now through October 6th in Coral Springs. Picture a down-at-the-heels theatrical family led by a drunken womanizer married to a wacky fading beauty, then toss in a deaf grandmother determined to get back on the boards, and a daughter who's vowed never to act again. They band together for one last shot at stardom, performing a riotous mashup of Cyrano and Private Lives for a TV weatherman they've mistaken for Frank Capra. If you would like more detailed cultural event information, please visit artscalendar.com, Broward County's complete guide to the arts. Never miss a thing. Get there.
That's Jody Horn-Lashinsky, Community Development Director for the Broward Cultural Division. Jody, thanks for all of those suggestions.
Oh, you are so welcome, and happy weekend to you.
Great weekend.
Thank you.
Our first segment on the show today was partially preempted by the Secretary of State's message. We will have that segment in its entirety with Ms. Renita Samuels-Dixon of the Greater St. Paul AME Church and Mr. Bobby Stringer pertaining to the Coconut Grove Black Heritage Music Series in its entirety, available on our website later this afternoon at WLRN.org. Please log on to the website to hear Ms. Samuels-Dixon and Mr. Bobby Stringer about tomorrow's concert taking place in Coconut Grove at 3680 Thomas Avenue, and that's tomorrow from 5 to 7 p.m. The premiere concert in the Coconut Grove Black Heritage Music Series. And that's today's South Florida Arts Beat. You can also hear the show later tonight at 7 o'clock on our WLRN HD channel, Extra HD channel, and go to our website once again for a rebroadcast later today. That's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. Adrian Kennedy is our executive producer. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Paul Leary is our online producer and our technical director today. We'd like to thank our contributors, Charles Greenfield, Norman Van Aken, and Jody Horn-Lashinsky for their great work. Please call us with your comments, 305-995-2258. You can fax us your event information, 305-995-2221, or email it to us at info@WLRN.org. Monday at this time, we'll have a replacement for Topical Currents. Have yourself a great weekend, and please have a great holiday as well. Until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.